for me, Todd Smallenberg, electsmallenberg.com. Paid for by Todd Smallenberg for state rep.
Everybody, it's Izzy Lyman. You're listening to 97.7 FM WCHY Sheboygan, and we are in the second hour of the show, the second half. And let me just give out some information before we talk to our next guest, Joshua Shriver. Joshua is spelled J-O-S-H-U-A. Shriver is S-H-R-I-V-E-R.com. If you'd like to give the representative a birthday donation, I believe it's money very, very well spent, giving what all he's doing and standing for us with who don't have enough of a voice in Lansing these days. We have a text number. It's 231-758-7707 if you'd like to text in your comments, and we would love to hear from you. And on the line in the show is the man from Arkansas. We don't have people from Arkansas hardly ever on the show. Welcome, Mr. Jay Greeland.
Thank you, Lizzie.
How you doing?
Well, I'm doing good, except for I was just mentioned to you earlier, I was in physical therapy, resting, and my very kind PT person was about to kill me with my shoulder, so this is a good break.
I know about those PT people. I have one of those in the family. And it can be borderline torture, but we're glad you're okay, and we're glad you can join us. And today is, I'm calling it Local Wednesday, and I'm speaking to guests who I hope can inspire us to act locally. And one of the ways that you're doing that these days, you're a former retired big newspaper guy, right? Is that fair to say?
I like the sound of that.
Okay.
Except the retired part.
Okay. No, right. In the sense of you're still active, but you're just retired from that particular business. And you're also a former speechwriter, and you have, you know, just all kinds of accolades and columns and all kinds of great stuff that you've done over the years. But you've now launched a watchdog Substack called Maumelle Monitored, where you live in Maumelle, Arkansas. So I wanted to talk to you about that because we don't talk enough about writing in terms of activism. I think we're all excited about quick social media and YouTubes and that kind of thing, but we're not really writing as much as we used to. So, and you're trying to do that. So tell us a little bit about your endeavor.
But so when I was like a lot of people before I started working for Governor Hutchinson and then for the mayor of Maumelle, I really didn't pay that much attention to what was going on. And a lot of it was because I was just sort of had to be kind of agnostic as a newspaper person, kind of above the fray, you know, and not have an opinion, all that nonsense that we talk about, objectivity. But after I left the mayor's employ back in August, I was there long enough to see there were some real problems in city government, and we don't have a newspaper here. The newspaper that was here was called the Maumelle Monitor, and it's been gone for a couple of years. So I started this Substack thing at the encouragement of several friends who were familiar with it, and I just added an ED to Monitor, so it's now Maumelle Monitored, just to put people on notice. And it's been a lot of fun, and I've been riding the mayor very hard, but it's because of things that I saw that were going on, and the things that I'm saying are the things that normal people say when they look at what's happening in City Hall. And so in that sense, I think I've given a voice to those people who aren't in City Hall every day, and the people in City Hall are a lot of good people, but you just get in that bubble and you forget mm-hmm. how real people think. And so yes. I'm trying to bring that real person perspective, which is an honest thing. It's, you know, I see the nonsense and the issues that they just, the elected officials seem to be okay with.
Yes, absolutely. And in fact, in Emmett County, Michigan, where I live, my husband and I, which you know, we started a website also with some other folks that are concerned about local government. It's Emmett Responsible Government. And we have a blog. We also post information about our local government, calling people into accountability. And sometimes we call out Republicans. We don't always call out the liberals, because we've learned if you don't have the right philosophy of government, you're going to spend money and you're going to buy into programs because you're going to view government as a charity. And I feel like that's a mindset we have to sort of influence, that government is not a charity.
Absolutely. And the other another prong of that is just the favoritism and the money that goes in places that you know, developers and various business people who seem to get a leg up simply because of who they know. And that's really been more what I've been concentrating on here. There's not so much of the, you know, we do spend money we shouldn't, like. We've got a road that needs paving we can't get done, but we put money aside for a pickleball courts. But, you know, that's minor to me. It's just the bigger thing of what I see as some corruption that... you just need to say it for what it is. And, you know, I was in the newspaper business for 35 years. I had the benefit of lawyers very often. You know, so often when we write stories or do investigations, you have to run them through the lawyers. And I always enjoyed that process because I like to be able to answer their questions or find out where I'm wrong. And so I learned a lot, enough to say what I need to say here without getting in trouble.
And, I like how you're saying lawyers. I don't hear that kind of accent of you very much.
Yes,
and that is important because you do not want to be writing defamatory material and, like you said, get yourself in trouble.
And I want to be fair. And and so a lot of people, but some people think that I haven't been fair and disrespectful to the mayor. But in this case, the mayor's been disrespectful to the citizens. A year or so ago, he had a council meeting when the council voted to give to delay a neighborhood development so that the concerned neighbors could meet with the man developing it. The mayor was upset about that, and he said, "Think of the message you're sending developers by this." And so after the meeting, I said, "Think of the message you just sent to residents by what you said." And so that's kind of the attitude I brought to this Substack thing that I started in, mid-December. I cranked it up. And it can be consuming sometimes, but I think it's necessary. And my hope is, as I build a little speed, that I'll get others involved and to provide some stories and things. But I think a lot of people are doing this around the country, whether Substack or their other platforms. And Substack is made real easy for me. I was born, I'll just say, before 1965. So a lot of this technical stuff doesn't necessarily come easy. But Substack is as easy as I've ever seen. It's user friendly.
Yeah, and Substack has attracted some big names like Matt Taibbi and folks like that. I think Glenn Greenwald, these big-time famous journalists that are now going, in a way, independent. Now they have their own little platform. They can say whatever they want, however they want to say it, and they can earn, you know, money via monetizing it via subscription. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of plus side to that kind of journalism that we hadn't seen before.
Well, one thing that I started with Substack, they drew a lot of flack because they refused to kick off. There were some points of view that some of their other users didn't like, and those guys who, you know, there's always the freedom of speech guys who are the first to want to cancel somebody else's speech. But Substack stood up to them and said, "This is, we do this here. We let people voice their opinions, whether we like them or not." And so I really like that sort of pristine, if you will, approach to all voices welcome. And I'm sure there are limits to it, but just in terms of, just because it was
so
expressing a political philosophy.
a sort of a philosophical question. Is writing just for elites these days, or how do we encourage just the common guy or gal? And I don't mean to say common derogatorily, just like your average Joe or Jane. No. How do we encourage them to write more? I feel like people need to write more.
Well, I part of the problem is I think we're just sort of, I think the more education that journalists got, the more prissy journalism became, and we just sort of moved out of the neighborhood that where we started with a lot of the, the Jimmy Breslins and those guys who really did come up tough. A lot of them didn't even have college degrees, much less doctorates in journalism. And so I think that sort of people feel like that's priced in the neighborhood. I also think that a lot of people are just ruined by their well-meaning English instructors in high school, and they're just afraid to write. But I think that, and as you know, in the print newspapers, the letters to the editor, a lot of towns, you had some very active writers, and that was one way to do it. But I always felt like letters to the editor didn't get a lot of respect. They just felt like those people blowing off steam who didn't know what they were talking about. That's how people perceived them, I think, in a lot of cases. But I think this Substack thing is something people can do. And even as you said that, I think maybe that I will actually put out a call. I haven't done that, but for people to contribute.
Right, even if it's short, even 100, 150, 200 words. I mean, that's just such a good exercise for folks to learn to articulate via the written word, because you and I are believers. And how did the Lord share with us but via the written word, right? Not just the his obviously all the other pieces to Christianity, but that is how we still communicate with the Lord, through the Bible, the written word. So that's we are a people of the word.
And, and to that point, and this has been what I've said all through my career, is that, for all the editors I've had, I ultimately answered one person for every word I write. And I'm really trying to keep that in mind as I do this, this little independent project, because I feel like it calls for some toughness here. But also, I don't want to step over the line and have to answer to the Lord for, being mean or unfairly calling somebody out.
Oh, absolutely. And we're going to take a quick break, Jay, but we'll be back and talk to you a little bit more. I'm Izzy Lyman, and thank you for listening, and please stay with us.
Free spring inspection for your vehicle. Bring your vehicle to Royal Tire at 402 West Mitchell and Petoskey. Get a free inspection of your wiper blades, tires and wheels, a battery test, brake pads and rotors. Call to schedule an appointment at 231-347-1001. Make sure your vehicle is ready for summer. It's coming. Again, call Royal Tire at 231-347-1001.
Shut the door, close the border, build that wall. It is time for a strong senator to help close the border. Hi, I'm Dr. Sherry O'Donnell, candidate for the U.S. Senate. Biden's open door policy has caused this massive refugee crisis that endangers our country, increases drug trafficking, and is costing taxpayers billions of dollars. Check out my plan at DocSherry2024.com. I'm not a recycled politician. I will pull off the Band-Aid and cure this problem. Together, we can stop illegal immigration. Paid for by Doc Sherry for Senate.
Montana Black Angus beef raised in Onaway, Michigan. Tolini Farms have been raising their cows by feeding them non-GMO corn, barley, wheat, and alfalfa hay, all grown on their own farm. Taking the Ebles for processing, aged, standard cut, vacuum sealed, and frozen, ready for immediate delivery directly to you. Call them today at 989-733-2782 for their current $4 per hanging weight pound. Quarters or halves will feed your family for a year. Call them right now at 989-733-2782.
Hi, this is Ian Murphy from the Iron Pig Smokehouse in downtown Gaylord. Join me every Tuesday at 10 a.m. with Trucker Randy for an update on all things happening at the Iron Pig. We're open 7 days a week and serving breakfast Saturdays and Sundays. You can order online anytime for takeout, curbside, and delivery at ironpigsmoke.com. And be sure to keep up with our legal battle against the health department by subscribing to our podcast at fuelcasttv.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. I support this show, and I would like to offer you our biggest discounts for listening. So please go to our website, MyPillow.com, and put in the promo code at the end of this message to get the biggest discounts. Again, thanks for listening, and God bless.
Thanks, Mike. Folks, go to MyPillow.com and enter the promo code TruckerRandy, or call 800-654-9659.
Curtis Gunsmith in Petoskey wants to ask you a question. Have you exercised your Second Amendment rights lately? Well, if you haven't, get on over to Curtis Gunsmith in Petoskey and talk to the old gun doctor about purchasing your next firearm, whether that be a concealed carry firearm or maybe an AR-15, perhaps an AK-47, or even just an old lever action. The gun doctor also works on every kind of firearm, except maybe an Abrams tank. So you know your baby's in good hands. Curtis Gunsmith. Call 231-838-5571.
Everybody, it's Izzy Lyman. You're listening to the Your Defending Father Show, and we have a special guest, Mr. Jay Greenland. And Jay, I did not really mention emphatically enough that you're a former speechwriter for Governor Asa Hutchinson. That's like a huge honor.
It's funny that he wasn't nearly as conservative as I thought he was when I first went to work for him. And I was way more conservative than he imagined, but it was a great relationship. And he's a very kind guy, although I disagree with him on some sort of baseline political things. But I enjoyed 5.5 years. It was a great experience. It just God dropped it in my lap. They called me looking for an old newspaper guy, and I was a perfect fit. So it was a really good 5.5 years.
And you also have had a relationship with Governor Huckabee, Mike Huckabee, in the past. Is that right?
Yes. Well, and he's real, Mike's everywhere in Arkansas, and he's when I was at the paper, at the Democrat Gazette, I wasn't his favorite person, but he would always return my calls. He's gracious that way. A funny story, 2019, he stopped by to see Governor Hutchinson, and when it was time to go, I heard he was over there, so I walked over there and walked out with him, walked down the stairs and walked past the security guy, the Capitol Police, and they said, "You sure you don't want us to give us your ride?" And he said, no. So I walked out with him, and nobody spoke to him, and we walked down the street where he parked. He could have called and had a parking spot as close as he wanted, and he didn't do that. But anyways, we got almost to his car, just Mike and me. I never do this, but can I take a selfie of us? And he said, sure. And so after about four failed tries, he grabbed the phone from me. He says, here, let me do it. You're a reporter, not a photographer. So,
yeah, he has kind of that upbeat, fun side. I think that makes him very good, very telegenic.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He has this huge career now as a pundit. But we in Michigan, I have to say, really admire your governor compared to our governor. As you probably know, our governor has aspirations to the White House, Gretchen Whitmer. And it seems like Sarah Huckabee Sanders is much more measured and much more full of common sense and conservatism than Gretchen Whitmer.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So anyways, so at least you got that going for you, because believe me.
Well, it's interesting. Sarah is not her father, though. And, people, as she was coming, it was clear she was going to, I don't really like this term, but they said it was going to be a coronation, not an election. And that was pretty much the way it was for Sarah here. But she's not her dad. And I had, people would ask me, well, are you going to work for Governor Sanders? And frankly, I didn't want to because, as I told people, she was coming from the big leagues, and there'd be a whole different measure, a level of pressure and stress to do things the way that she had become accustomed to. And I was pretty much right on that count. And I didn't even try because I didn't want her to tell me no. But I figured she probably would have. So.
Well, I liked how she had that press conference. It wasn't too long ago where she denounced the whole gender pronouns business, and she had all those ladies up there with her. I thought that was very, very effective, a very powerful moment.
In that way, she is her dad. She says exactly what she thinks. Your opinions don't matter if you don't like what she does. And so I do appreciate that about her, that she, and I think she generally represents a conservative voice well.
In the time that we have left, give us your views on how we can encourage people to act locally, to make as we say it, it's a corny phrase, to make the world a better place, but I think we mean, to impact for good, for the holy things, for the eternal things. How can folks do that?
Well, I think it comes back, just like I said, before I got involved, working for government, I just really didn't pay attention to what was going on. And after I got back to Maumelle and was working here, nobody comes to the city council meeting. So they just do what they want. And so that's one of my things, is just to try to get people to attend and show up. And again, I was guilty of not. And I've sent a letter to the principal of the charter school here and proposed that we devise a schedule for classes of students to attend one council meeting.
Yes.
To show up, and the offer I made was that on the day of the meeting, I'll come to school and give them a copy of the agenda and tell them identify the players and tell them what they're going to be seeing, so they're not just going and sitting, so they can actually have a little bit of in the hopes right. of that level and hopes that their parents will come with them, because I'm serious. I mean, the mayor gave his so-called state of the city speech the other night. There weren't really about six people in the chambers. There were more council people there than citizens.
Oh, and that is so basic. Go to a city council meeting, pay attention, listen, know their names. That is just so basic. I appreciate that. What is your website? Where can we read what you're doing these days?
Well, it's just I think if you you just threw me out in deep water here, Izzy, I don't know. But I think if you just Google Maumelle Monitored, with monitor with an ED on it, or my name, JAYGRELEM. I think eventually you'll get to it. But if you just go to Substack, because I haven't really, it's embarrassing. You've exposed my shank here.
No worries. Not at all. I mean, we can Google everything these days. So Substack and Jay Grelin, that's JReLEN. And we can read about Maumelle Monitored. And we thank you so much for your work. And it's such a pleasure to talk with you this morning.
Thank you, Izzy.
All right. We will be back after the break.
Just wrap it up.
Thank you for listening to Your Defending Fathers with Trucker Randy Bishop.
Trucker Randy here. Let's face it, we're all getting older, but we don't have to feel the pains of getting older. Most people, and even our pets, have daily pain. Don't let pain slow you down. Get natural relief with CBD products from Patriots Relief. Designed by nature and trusted by millions, CBD synergistically works with your body to naturally relieve pain along with many other benefits. CBD is not marijuana, and you will not get high. Vicky and I trust Patriots Relief products because they truly work. Go to their website, patriotsrelief.com, then call Tim and his family at 877-230-1776. Mention the promo code TR1 to get the biggest discounts. Again, call 877-230-1776 and mention TR1. Patriotsrelief.com.
Everybody remembers their moment, the moment Granddad handed down his old rifle. At Curtis Gunsmithing in Petoskey, we respect traditions. We also know that old gun might not be in the same shape it was when Granddad gave it to you. Mr. Tom.